قال ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. الحمد لله. Brothers and sisters, we know from hadith that every single action that we do, the reward we get is depending upon what we have intended. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from me, and He keeps my niyyah and my intention clean for His sake. Any mistakes I make are from me, and anything of good I say is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm doing this because when I leave the world, I want something that I can leave behind that will benefit me. Sadqa jariyah. And today what I'm talking about, the topic specifically, which is very short but of extreme benefit, is called the 10 principles of purifying the soul. And it's all to do with your nafs, our nafs. And Allah takes an oath in the Quran and He says, verily he has succeeded who purifies his nafs. Verily it is he who has succeeded who purifies his nafs. You see, your nafs has a default setting, and its default setting that it came to in the world is to follow its desires. That's the default. Your nafs will lead you to follow your desires, and whoever manages with Allah's help and grace to overpower his nafs will be victorious. Whoever allows his nafs to control him, to mislead him, to temptation, is only going to lead him into destruction and the hellfire. So in the Quran, we know if you rectify your nafs, it will lead you to success. It will lead you to Jannah. And if you don't, you will go astray. And we know, brothers and sisters, that from today's society today, everywhere we see, what we hear, what we listen to, people who are followed, what Islam teaches us, and what is the right course of action for controlling our nafs is in direct opposition to what the world teaches us today, which is to just indulge in your desires. Follow how you feel. Follow your feelings. What you feel like. And that's it. But in that, my brothers and sisters, is only ruin. Is only sadness. Is only depression. Is only anxiety. So I'm going to highlight, inshallah, 10 rules or 10 principles that are a means of yourself purifying your nafs. And if you're in a position where you think you are sinning, that your heart doesn't feel anything of spirituality, that you feel very far from Allah, and that you want to turn back to Allah, that you want to fix your situation, that you know yourself, I've got this bad habit, or I'm doing this bad deed, and I know it's wrong, but I want to escape it, I want to get out of it, then inshallah these 10 things are going to help you, brothers and sisters, okay? So, the number one rule or principle for purifying your nafs, this number one, is learning and understanding and applying tawheed. So, having consciousness of Allah. Consciousness of Allah meaning taqwa of Allah. Know that He is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-watching. He is the judge. And you have to worship Him and obey Him alone. So you naturally, knowing that Allah is watching you, no matter what you're doing, will lead you to behave differently. If you know Allah's watching you, what you're doing, you're not going to engage in that sin. Or rather, you're going to be more conscious of it. You're going to try to avoid it. So, you know that Allah is all-seeing, all-hearing, everlasting, the eternal. and he will judge you based on your actions. In the Quran, Allah says, worship your Lord. Worship your Lord. And this kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, this one sentence, this kalima is the key to Jannah, it's the key to paradise. And we know, brothers and sisters, that the one who comes with correct tawheed is the one who has succeeded. If you come without tawheed, you will not be forgiven. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive associating partners with him, but he may forgive anything else but that. And we know a certain group of people near Al-Qiyamah, 70,000 people will enter Jannah without hisab, meaning they will be entered into paradise without reckoning, without questioning. So it's so important that we rectify this, that we understand Tawheed, all its rules and regulations, and if we apply it, Tawheed, as human beings, as we are not like the angels, they are perfect. They don't make mistakes. They are sinless. And we are sinners. But if we apply Tawheed, we know from what Islam tells that we can surpass the Malaika. We can surpass the angels in our status and rank. We know that if Tawheed isn't corrected, which is why it's so important, if it isn't corrected, if it has mistakes in it and one falls into shirk, we know that doing shirk nullifies all the good deeds a person has done. So a person may have worshipped Allah for 30 to 40 years or 60 to 70 years, and then he does one act of shirk and his sins are deleted. They're erased and Jannah is haram for that person. So it's very important that we fix this. That's the first principle. So you understanding Tawheed, how to worship Allah, worshipping Him alone without partners, and you call upon Him alone. You ask only Him for help and support. You don't go through another person to ask Allah for help. You don't go to another person to try and have your sins forgiven. You don't try and go to another person because you think that I'm going to this person and or this area or location and my dua is going to be extra powerful. Rather, you call upon Allah alone in any situation. That's the first principle. Second principle, brothers, is dua. So calling upon Him alone. Calling upon Allah alone. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, nothing is more honorable to Allah than dua. And dua is ibadah. People think that dua is just you're asking Allah for your needs. Ya Rab, give me this. I need this. I'm in trouble. Give me that. Yes, it is. It is you asking for Allah. But actually, dua is ibadah. Dua is worship. So you actually get ajr and reward for making dua. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually rejoices when you call upon him. He becomes happy. It's a means of his pleasure. When you call upon him, Allah knows what you want from him. He knows this, but he loves hearing it from you. He's already providing for you. He is already knows what's in your heart, but he wants to hear it from your tongue. And when you make dua, you are affirming your tawheed. You are showing Allah that you are nothing without Him, that you need Him, that you depend upon Him. And you are confirming your Islam, your tawheed. Because you are affirming that only He is the one, Allah, that has the ability to change your circumstance or situation. And Allah says, call upon Him and He will answer you and your prayers. Just be humble and don't be arrogant. Don't think ever, brother, sister, that you can't call upon Allah. You need to. It's a must. You have to. Allah becomes displeased with a servant of His that doesn't ask Him for his needs. Even to the point where you need a tire shoeless, ask Allah to facilitate it for you, because if it was for Allah, you couldn't do that. So from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, ask Allah for it. And Allah will provide you with that thing. And one thing to bear in mind is that the more Tawheed increases in your heart, the more humble you will be. Increasing Tawheed will result in you being more humble. And it will be more easy for you to cry when it's just you and Allah. It will be more easy for you to shed tears. And it will be more easy for you to beg Him. And the more you beg Him, the more you ask of Him, the more reward you will get, the more happy He will become. And that will result in your iman going up. Because good deeds lead to iman going up, and bad deeds lead to iman decreasing. That's how it works. So, with dua, and this whole situation of dua, because of you making it, you will learn actually by doing it. You will learn that you will not be able to rectify your nafs without Allah helping you to do so. And the way you ask Allah to give life to your dead heart. So, we know how many times that we have tried, brothers and sisters, to promise not to go back to a sin, or promise to leave a sin, or leave an action. We make a promise, or we say, you know what, I'm going to try our best to leave that action. And we end up falling back to it. After 1 month, 2 months, we go back to the same mistake. And if we repent, Allah will still forgive us. And Allah will not stop forgiving us for as long as we keep asking Him for forgiveness. But a point I'm trying to make is, it is impossible for you to fix your situation without Allah helping you. You want to leave a mistake, you want to leave a sin, you have to ask Allah to give you the power to leave that sin. You have to call upon Allah and say, Allah, I am too weak. I haven't got the ability or the strength or the willpower to leave this sin. Please help me. When you're doing that, Allah will most definitely help you. One of the best du'as you can make, and a du'a that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make often, is Ya Muqallibul Qulub Sabbit Qalbi Ala Deenik. O Turner of the Hearts, turn my heart to being steadfast on this deen, upon this religion. Never be arrogant or belittle someone else, or think that your deed will take you to Jannah, for it won't. You will only enter Jannah by Allah's mercy. So we covered the first thing, Tawheed. And the second thing we covered was Dua. The third thing is, or the third principle is Qur'an. That's our third key to purifying ourselves. So the Qur'an, you understanding it, you reading it, you pondering over it, it will purify you from shirk. It will purify you, and it will help you to rectify your situation. And it's the Qur'an is the best way to rectify your heart. You will not find a better way to fix the condition of your heart than to become close to the Qur'an, reading it, reciting it, understanding it. But reading it alone is a benefit. From the first page to the last page, the Qur'an promotes Tawheed, and it promotes the greatness of Allah. And it's full of life lessons, it's full of stories, it's full of facts. So you can learn from the past history and become the best version of yourself. It will also show you, brothers and sisters, your shortcomings, how to improve yourself, what to avoid, what can be a means of your downfall, and how to avoid hurting yourself and making yourself fall into failure. So again, the Quran is one of the biggest things. And it doesn't take a lot of effort to start. You start, read 2 or 3 lines a day. If you do that consistently, Allah will begin to soften your heart. You combine the Quran reading every single day with dua daily. And you combine that with tawbah, constantly asking Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to soften your heart. For Allah says in the Quran it says, it is He who gives life to dead land. As Allah can give life to dead land, then Allah can give life to your dead heart. So, swinging back to the nafs and purifying it, its default is following desires, leading to failure. Rectifying it leads to obedience to Allah, and that leads to your success and your contentment. If you fear standing before your Lord, and you imagine yourself on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that you're going to have to answer for everything you've done, it's going to lead you to automatically rectify yourself. You're going to begin to take self-accountability. You're going to begin to think, you know what, today I did not pray. Today I delayed my prayer. You know, today I did this to that person. What am I going to say to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah? What am I going to say? So, having that consciousness is important. So you don't have the ability to remain steadfast by yourself. You can't do it. It's impossible. Only with the help of Allah can you do it. So we ourselves are our number one enemies. We cannot let our desires take control. And it's so easy. It just takes a little door to open and we end up walking through it. Because Shaitan is very patient. He can wait 1 month, 2 months, 6 months to take you. He can take you in it. He will wait 1 year to make you fall up, to fall down. And when you fall down, you may never get up. It's very likely sometimes a person falls so far that he hasn't got the strength to pick himself up, even though Allah's there waiting for him. So that's the first, that's the third principle. The fourth principle is that you find yourself a role model. And what better role model than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So to find someone that is of good character and conduct, someone that you can imitate, someone that you can follow, someone that you can learn from, and that can show you the path to success. Our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the best example, for he had the best connection with Allah. His character was the Quran, and he applied it in every single aspect of his life, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He taught it via his actions for us to imitate and how to live our lives daily. There's a Quran ayah that says, say to them, if they are true in their love for Allah, then follow me, I, the messenger. If they are really true and they say they love Allah, then follow the messenger and his ways and Allah will love you. And subhanAllah, it's a test. You are trialed in this life. In Islam, people say they love Allah. Well, the test is, are you following the way? If you're not following the way, then it's just words. It doesn't mean a thing. And Islam, brothers and sisters, is not something that you're born into. It's something that you follow. You follow it, and you following Islam, that is the thing that will make you successful. You can't inherit Islam, you can't be born with it. It's what you follow. And it's what you follow of the guidelines of the rules and regulations. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, our messenger, whoever does an action that we have not legislated as a means to trying it close to Allah is rejected. This is very important, brothers and sisters, that people, they claim to love Allah and they come up with their own way or their own action to try and get close to Allah, which they think is okay. But if that action that they are trying to use to get close to Allah is not how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, then it's rejected. It's an innovation. You don't worship Allah alone except by following the Prophet ﷺ's example, by his speech and by his actions. The fifth principle is that, aside from doing Tawheed and making Dua and following the Quran and having a good role model, the biggest thing that can lead you to actually helping you to abandon your evil ways and to change is leaving that which is harming you. leaving their bad actions. So abandoning that which will bring you down, something that will lower your status as a believer, is to not become an animal. Because the animals, their nature is they do what they want. They have no means of reckoning. They have no thought process. They have no thinking. So you don't become an animal. You have the ability and the control of your mind and yourself and your nafs. Leave that which will bring you down. Leave your sinful actions and do good actions. So you abandon the evil ways and then you adorn yourself with that which will raise you. And the things that will raise you are the good deeds. So the good characteristics of being honest, of being trustworthy, the Quran, reading it, praying the night prayer, praying your 5 daily prayers, praying in the masjid, being good to your parents, asking Allah for forgiveness. You cannot adorn yourself without first purifying yourself. Brothers and sisters, if you have a piece of clothing in your home and it's dirty, you're not going to perfume it. You're first going to clean it and then you'll perfume it. So the same with your heart. You will first purify your heart. You purify and clean yourself. And then you adorn yourself with good actions and good deeds. And both come hand in hand. So you don't just pray salah and sin, but you abandon sins as sins are burdens. And one sin leads to another sin. And it leads to another sin. I'll give you an example. A person in his day, he realizes it's time for salah. So he makes wudu. When he makes wudu, he gets ajr. His sins fall off his body, as we know from narrations. He walks to the mosque. For each step he takes, he's rewarded. He goes to the masjid. He gets a bigger reward than if he prayed at home. He makes dua. Another good deed. He meets the brothers. He gives salam. Another good deed. He leaves the mosque feeling content and happy. So, whereas a person that is sinning, for instance, a person's at home, no one's watching him. He begins to do a particular action, a sin. The time he's spending to sin, he's delaying his prayer. Or he's missing his prayer. And then, what happens? That sin that he's committed, not only has he missed the prayer, but he may want to do that same sin again a little bit later or tomorrow. Because when you do one sin, your heart gets a black spot on it. And that black spot leads you to want to commit that sin again. So one sin leads to another sin, it leads to another sin. So be constant in tawbah, in Quran, in salah, in fasting, in hajj and umrah. Try your best according to what you can handle, but leave the evil actions and Allah will help you to get better and better at worshipping Him. He will make it very easy for you. The sixth principle is that we close the doors of sin. So not only are we abandoning sin, we're leaving sin. So for instance, a person, he may quit smoking. A person may quit watching pornography. A person may quit backbiting. But it's not good enough. Because he will be leading himself to temptation again if he goes not in those areas. For example, a person, he wants to leave backbiting. But then, he is mixing with friends that are still talking bad about other people. And he, in his heart, he hates it. But he chooses to place himself in that group. He's harming himself and it will lead to him doing it again. So he needs to leave that group, not doing backbiting. Or he needs to tell them as well and warn them. Or if a person is a smoker and his friends are inviting him out to go and do shisha, for instance. Those friends are not good for him. He needs to cut off and close the doors. Or another example, A person wants to avoid looking at women. So he's out and about, he wants to make his iman strong. And when he's outside, he lowers his gaze. But when he's at home, what does he do? He watches TVs, he watches movies. And the movies are full of women that are not dressed the right way. So it's slowly affecting his heart and it will lead to temptation. He hasn't closed the door. So he has to close the door. That's the sixth principle. There's a very, very important hadith that I'll mention in regards to this life and the nafs. And this sums up our journey in this life. It's a very, very important hadith. And it's very comprehensive. And it'll make you understand things. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it's reported in Imam Ahmad, Allah has given us a path, a sirat. And this path is the straight. So if you can imagine a path, there's a path, a straight path, and it's the sirat. On both sides of this path, there is a wall. There's a wall on the right, and there's a wall on the left. And there are doors that are open on those walls. So on each wall, on the right and the left, there are doors. And those doors are open. And on those doors, there are curtains. And at the beginning of the path, there is a loud caller saying, "Oh people, come and enter this way. You need to go this way. And don't go right and left. So enter, go straight, but don't go right and don't go left. Just go straight." And there is another caller on the path itself. A caller on the path itself, above the path, saying, "Anybody on the path, anybody on the path that intends to look through the curtains, don't remove the curtains. Woe to you. Because maybe you will be sucked in and you will not be able to escape." So the person in the beginning is saying, go straight. You have to enter this way, but go straight and don't deviate. And a person on the path is saying that don't look through the curtains. Don't even lift them. Don't remove the curtains, for you may be pulled in and you can't get out. Once you're in the door, it's very rare that you'll be able to get out. You may fall down, never recover. So avoid even looking into the curtains. Today's time, the curtains could be music. It could be backbiting. It could be zina. It could be smoking. It could be pornography. It could be a lot of things. The road to Islam, the two walls are the boundaries of Allah that He has set. The right and the left wall are boundaries and the rules of Allah has set. The doors open with certain things that Allah has made haram. And the caller in the beginning of the path is the Quran, calling the man to good. And the caller above the path saying, don't lift the curtain, is an advisor. Is an advisor. And that advisor is your iman. And it's your taqwa. And it's your consciousness of Allah. Allah is saying, don't look right and don't look left, and I will give you what you want. Don't look left and don't look right, and I will give you what you want. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, is commanded by Allah, lower the gaze, protect your chastity, that is better for you, for them, and purify and more pure. Lower the gaze and protect your chastity. That is better for them and more pure. And Allah is aware of what they do. Along those lines in the Quran. The eyes are the gateways to your chastity. They are the gateways, so close them. Your eyes are tunnels that lead. Your senses are tunnels that lead to your actions. Your eyes are senses. Your eyes, your ears. If you guard your senses, you'll be safe. Don't seek Allah's forgiveness and then still engross yourself in sin. Seek Allah's forgiveness and take steps to leave the sin. And try your best to abandon the actions. And leave the places and things that are close to them. Those things that call you to haram. The internet, social media, music, bad friends. Those things, brothers and sisters, leave them for the sake of Allah. Principle number 7, and we're almost finished, inshallah, is that you think about death often. You fear and look at what you have brought forward for your reckoning. So, brothers and sisters, this life and the next life are like two scales, or like a scale, sorry. When one becomes heavy, the other one becomes light. When one becomes light, the other becomes heavy. For which of your time are you spending most of your time? Is it dunya? Is it akhirah? And what actions are you depositing in your account, in your balance of good deeds? What actions are you depositing in your account that on Yawm al-Qiyamah you can cash in to help you on your test? The Prophet Muhammad said, remember the destroyer of worldly pleasures. For if you do this, it will remind you and bring you into reality. So, a person wakes up in the morning, he becomes busy with his life. His friends are texting him, calling him. He's enjoying himself, he's going to work, he's coming back. His family needs his help. He becomes engrossed in the world. He begins to neglect Allah. But if you think about death, it will bring you down back to reality. It will make you realize that life is short and I have to put Allah first and everything else second. And something that can help you remember death or help you in this action remembering death is attending the funeral prayer. Attending a burial and helping out with a burial. And thinking to yourself that once you're dead in the grave, there's no going back. It's too late. When you're dead in the grave, there's no going back. So use your time wisely in this life. The 8th principle, brothers and sisters, is that you sit and busy yourself with the people that are righteous. For in Islam, you are under religion of your friend. You are under religion of your friend. So if your friend is not the person who you just chill with, that you relax with, that you laugh with, that you joke with, that will back you up in a fight. No. Your friend is that person who, when you are doing a mistake, he puts you on the spot and tells you, brother, what are you doing? Don't do that. It's not good for you. Your friend is the person who reminds you of Islam, who reminds you of Allah, who reminds you, it's time for Salah, let's go and pray. Don't go to that place. It's not going to help you. Let's try and get close to Allah together. For that friend of yours who's calling you towards drugs, towards alcohol, towards doing bad deeds, he's not your friend, and in Yawm al-Qiyamah he'll be your worst enemy. So pick your friends who are righteous, who are pious. There's a quote that I read, and it said, befriend the person who is above you in religion, but below you in the worldly life. For that person is going to be striving more, a lot more, for his afterlife, for his religion, and getting the benefits, and those benefits will rub off onto you. Whereas a person that is engrossed in just the world, he will not be reminding you much of the afterlife. So, the Prophet Muhammad was sitting with some companions, and in that sitting, the time he was sitting with the companions, the Quraysh were belittling and they were mocking some of the companions, looking down upon them. Because the Quraysh thought they were wealthy and they had high rank and they had high status and their lineage. The Quraysh indicated at the time they did not want to be around those lesser people in their eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advise Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't look at their titles, don't look at their lineage, don't look at their wealth, and don't look at their status. But be with those that remember Allah. Be with those that remember Allah. There is a reason why Allah has advised us in this land of disbelief of kufr, where we live, to migrate to Muslim lands, as the environment around us has a massive effect on our hearts and our iman. You cannot walk down the road without a billboard calling you towards haram. You go into the internet, you're immediately met with fitna. You go into the malls, you're met with music and fitna. You go into your phone to check a notification and you have fitna. So wherever you go, there is fitna. So Allah advises us to change our environment, to put ourselves in a good environment with good company. So if you know a brother, sister, by yourself, you're going to commit a sin, then get out of that place, get out of that room. Go to the masjid. Go to the place where you're not going to be doing that sin. Go with the family, go with your parents, don't be by yourself. So surround yourself with people that are praying for you. When you look at them, they will remind you of Islam, of Allah. A righteous friend is like a musk carrier. Either way, if you're next to him, his perfume, you're going to smell it. His perfume may rub onto you and you're going to experience the benefits. Whereas a person, a friend of yours who's a sinner, who's bad, who's wicked, who's evil, he's a blacksmith. You can't help but when next to him, you don't like the way he smells. And when you're away from him, his smell will rub off onto you. So you will get what you mix with. That's number 8. Number 9 is that you be aware of praising yourself and being boastful, but be humble. So never ever, brother and sister, say to yourself, I'm okay, I'm Muslim, I pray, I'm pretty safe, I'm not in harm's way, I'm not hurting anybody. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say, I'm not bad, I'm okay, I practice. Just try your best to do good deeds. Don't even tell people and say, I do good deeds. Just tell yourself, I'm trying. I'm a sinner, but I'm trying. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was asked about a dua that one could make to Allah. And the person that asked him about what dua could be made, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ replied by saying, the dua you can make is, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. That dua is saying, I have oppressed myself with a great amount of oppression. So Abu Bakr, the closest companion to Muhammad ﷺ, the one guaranteed paradise, the one with the Prophet ﷺ in the cave, the Prophet is advising him to say, I have oppressed myself with a great amount of oppression. And that's a dua that you can read. So instead of saying yourself, you're okay or you're safe, focus on yourself, not other people. Prayer, do dawah, fast, zakat. Yet be fearful of whether that those actions are going to be accepted or not. Never think you're safe and okay. One good deed could help you, save you. And one sin could be a means of entering you into the fire. So always be in a consistent state of asking Allah to forgive you. The final principle is that the nafs, we understand how it works. That we understand how it works. Yes, we know about an-nafs now. We know its default state is to follow the desires. We know about this. We understand how it works. And we can program it. And I believe that this is the most important point. The nafs that you have, it goes through stages, brothers and sisters. Its default is, it encourages you to engage in all your desires. So its default stage, level 1, you could say, is, this is the worst state, by the way, it goes through stages, and its default is that it encourages you to engage in all your desires. Music, haram, alcohol, smoking, backbiting, riba, lying, being bad to your parents, being bad to your spouse. And this one requires work. And if it's worked upon, it will improve. The second level of the nafs is that your nafs becomes critical of you. This is a better stage. It becomes something called a rebukable nafs. And it criticizes you when you're falling or sinning. So when you're making a mistake, it begins to tell you, what are you doing? This is wrong. Don't look at that girl. Don't roll that cigarette. Don't smoke. Why are you in that area for? Don't go to the club. Don't delay your prayers. It begins to critique you. It begins to rebuke you. And that one is called nafs al-lawama. The last level of nafs, level 3, which is the best stage. And we can all get to the stage. With training, you can get to a state level where you become your own criticizer. So you become your own rebuttal. Okay? You begin to rebuke yourself and check yourself. You begin to say, why didn't I pray? It's a sin of my iman. You become self-accountable by yourself. So in your mind from morning to evening, you begin to check yourself. I've got to pray. I've got to do Quran. I've got to go to the mosque. Make sure I catch that prayer. They're sinning. Tell them don't do that. They're backbiting. Tell them to stop it. You become self-accountable. And you may even get to a point where you say, am I a munafiq? Am I a bad person? Look, I'm praying, but I'm sinning. Am I a munafiq? You know, I'm at home and I forgot Allah, but I'm in the mosque. I remember Allah. You feel negative. You feel down when you begin to disobey Allah. And you know that you have to fix yourself. If you find yourself talking to yourself like this, it's a good sign. And a believer feels like a mountain is on his shoulders. A believer, when he commits a sin, he feels like a mountain is on his shoulders about to crush him. So he becomes quickly upset and down when he commits a sin. Whereas opposed to the opposite, where a person in the opposite negative stage, he commits a sin and he waves it, he gets his hand and he waves it around his face like it's a fly. It doesn't really bother him. It doesn't affect him. So we encourage you to do good deeds. We encourage you to be critical of yourself and to feel bad after you commit a sin. And if you can get to this level is called Nafsul Mutama'inna. It finds, and this level 3 nafs, not only will it you become your own person to criticize yourself, but your nafs becomes to a level where you actually enjoy worship. The salah isn't a burden upon you. Your night prayer isn't a burden upon you. It's not hard for you to make wudu. It's not hard for you to tell the truth. It's not hard for you to leave sins. It becomes easy for you to leave sins. In fact, you find yourself, for example, when you hear music, you want to put your hands on your ears because you hate the sound of it. So your worship, your actions find tranquility when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the entrance point to the nafs, as mentioned before, are the senses. What you see, what you touch, what you taste, what you hear, your feet. So don't place it in that environment, for you will lose control. You will lose control. And I say again, that anything that I've said in this brief talk that is good, that is correct and authentic is from Allah, and anything that I've made a mistake of or said wrongly is from myself. And ask Allah to accept this from me, for it's my first speech and I hope that will be a means of benefit for me. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.